don't think I've said it yet. But as you look at me, you probably realize I'm not a mother. So I asked my wife, Lisi, if she could share just a word for us for Mother's Day. Yeah. Robert took his microphone. It's okay. You want to use this one?
Okay. So just a little something from one month to another, but I assume I'm here, so you guys may listen in. I just want to share a story about my life with my kids, and especially the youngest, because always got something up his sleeve. So thanks to my husband and my father-in-law, baseball is Jonas's world right now. And we were at a baseball game, and he was up, and he had that bat so tight, just perfect position, according to me. He looked perfect, ready, eyes on the ball, and waiting for that ball. So the ball comes, he strikes, and the ball just flies in the air and flies. Jonas, like he was told, lets that bat go and runs. Well, everything looked perfect, but the ball was caught and was passed on so fast, even though he slid, he was out. He stayed on that ground in the dirt for quite a while. Tears running down his face, and then he stood up and stomped off that field, and I tried to call him, Jonas, come here. He said, no. And he kept on walking and kept on walking, and then finally he took off that helmet of his, threw it to the ground, and said out loud, I am not a good baseball player. He just plopped down on the ground. So, as a mom, you know, you go there, you comfort, you try and speak truth into his life, and also tell him, you know, the game needs you. That was one game. And in that moment, it kind of hit me, like, just the way I'm comforting him. That's how, the way God can comfort us as moms, as even as men. And a verse came to me, and it's from Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And that struck me because in my mind, God is a male. We call him father. And so a father in this situation would probably say, suck it up, guy, and get back on that field. Whereas a mom would, you know, put her arm around the kid, say, you're doing a good job, you know. We comfort in sometimes different ways than dad would. Dads would comfort. But that's just, that kind of hit me, like, God created us at the beginning. He created humankind as man and woman, and he basically gave us his character. So we read, I also tried to look into it, and it's just amazing how much the Bible talks about these, how God has these characteristics of a mother. The comforting part, the mother hen or the eagle or the mother bear, I can relate with that quite well. And so it's just beautiful to see how he is, how we can actually learn from how he sees us, how he can comfort us in the way we comfort, in the way we act around our kids. And just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thanks, babe. Yeah, so this morning, obviously, I want to talk about mothers, as it's Mother's Day. I think it's appropriate to take a break from our series in the book of Acts, and I want to talk about a godly mother. The power of a godly mother. It's the first thing I want to talk about. The power of a godly mother. There was a mother a few hundred years ago, had 19 children. Do we have any mothers of 19 in here? 19 kids, I can't even imagine. This woman was a godly Christian. She really wanted her kids to know the Lord and to walk with God. So she taught them the Bible. In fact, she taught them to read using the Bible. Her rule was that by the age of six, each of her children should have read through the entire book of Genesis. Anybody read through the book of Genesis by the age of six? By age six, anyone? As soon as they could talk, this mother taught her children to pray the Lord's Prayer. And although she was the mother of 19, she had a goal. She wanted to spend quality time with each and every one of her kids. Alone time with each and every one of the 19. And she actually did that. She had a system. Her goal was to spend 1 hour interrupted time with each one of her 19 kids. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? I mean, I find it hard to spend uninterrupted time with my two boys alone. And she found the time to spend at least 1 hour a week with each one of her 19 kids. The name of this woman is Susanna Wesley. She's the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. If you know anything about church history, John and Charles Wesley are the founders of Methodism. They're some of the greatest Christian leaders, pastors, evangelists of all time. God used them in a great revival, actually a revival that was part of the founding of our nation, the Great Awakening in the 18th century. And millions, literally millions of people on earth today, all around the world, can go back and thank John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Yet John and Charles were very vocal about the fact that their faith and their character was imparted to them by their mother. Without their mother, they would never have been anything of what they were. That's the power of a godly mother. Women, you've been given a privilege. You've been given an opportunity by being a mother, being a wife, being a mother, raising children up, imparting the faith to them. You can change their lives, and through them you can change the course of history. The power of a godly mother. And this morning I want to talk about a woman by the name of Eunice. Eunice. Now, Eunice isn't one of those women that we talk about too much in the Bible, but Eunice was the mother of Timothy. Timothy, you will recall, was Paul's number one disciple, Paul's number one protege. Remember, Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, perhaps the greatest missionary in the early church, went all over the ancient world evangelizing, planting churches. And Paul followed the example of Jesus. He always had young men whom he was discipling. He chose men to travel with him and teach them the ropes, teach them the work of the ministry, discipling them, mentoring them. Luke, the author of Acts himself, was one of Paul's disciples. And out of all the people that Paul discipled throughout his life, Timothy. We know that Timothy was his number one disciple. He talks about Timothy as my true son in the faith. He told the Philippians, there's no one else like Timothy who cares for you so genuinely. As a father with his son, so Timothy has served with me in the gospel. Out of all the people that Paul mentored throughout his life, Timothy was the number one. He became a great leader, pastor, teacher in the early church. And yet in 2 Timothy, if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. In the letter of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul mentions the role of Timothy's mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, Paul, here speaking to Timothy, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So Paul says, Timothy, I commend you for your faith, your sincere faith, your devout faith. And as one of the great leaders in the early church, pastors, teachers, evangelists, Timothy definitely had a sincere faith, a devout faith. And yet Timothy says, this faith was imparted to you. Well, first of all, he says, it dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, then in your mother, Eunice, and now in you. So you see these mothers, Lois, imparting the faith to her daughter, Eunice. Eunice imparting the faith to her son, Timothy. And now Timothy, this pastor, this leader, sharing, preaching, ministering. The power of a godly mother. And as Christian mothers, we know that your role is not just to raise your kids to be adults, but to raise them up in the faith. Amen? Amen. To impart the Christian faith to them. Now, of course, it's not just a woman's role, not just the mother's role. It's obviously the father's role as well. But I'm speaking more to mothers this morning since it is Mother's Day. But as Christians, we have an extra responsibility, not just to make sure our kids become adults, but to impart the faith, the Christian faith, to them. And Paul mentions this again in the same letter. If you look over at chapter 3 in verse 14 and 15, chapter 3, Paul says in verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have learned the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul says a lot in these verses, but what I want to focus on is the fact that he says, from childhood you've learned the holy scriptures. Who taught Timothy the Bible when he was a child? It wasn't Paul. It was his mother. And in fact, we know that it was his mother in particular. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1, in Acts 16, 1, it tells us that Timothy was well spoken of in the church, that his mother was a Jew who was a believer, and his father was a Greek. So Timothy's mother was a Jew, and she was a believer in Jesus Christ. She was a Christian. And Timothy's father was a Greek. Now that tells me that he probably was not a believer, or else Luke would have mentioned that he was a Greek and a believer. Paul talks about Timothy's faith. Paul talks about Timothy's knowledge of the scriptures, knowledge of the Bible. That it was imparted to him through his mother. That it was taught to him from childhood. Obviously, it wasn't his Gentile father, a non-believing father, who imparted this knowledge to him. It was his mother. As mothers, your responsibility is to impart the Christian faith to your children. Fathers as well. As mothers, your responsibility is to teach your children the scriptures. You know, I've heard parents say things like, "Well, I'll let my kids choose for themselves." Well, that's obvious. I mean, when your children become adults, they're going to choose for themselves what they believe. That's obvious. We can't force them to believe what they want to believe. But it's your responsibility. What if a mother said, "Well, I'm not going to teach my kid to cross the street. I'll let them decide for themselves." That's probably not the best way to parent a child. We're responsible to teach our children how to live in this world, to teach them how to be kind, respectful human beings. We also are responsible to teach our children the Bible, the knowledge of God. So what about you? Are you teaching your children? And of course, at this point, I'm focusing on mothers, but it's equally applicable to fathers. Are you teaching your children the knowledge of the scriptures? Are you teaching your children the knowledge of God, imparting the faith to them? God has given us through our children an amazing privilege to impact their lives, to change a life, and through our children to change history. Do you take that seriously? And by the way, the example of Eunice, I think, is a great reminder, great illustration, example of the fact that even if you're alone in this parenting thing, even if you're the only Christian in the relationship, you can still impart your faith to your children. Amen? Amen. Eunice was alone. Her husband was a Gentile. As far as we know, he was not a believer in Jesus. And yet look, Eunice, although she was the only one, the only parent who was teaching Timothy about God, who was teaching Timothy the Bible, Timothy grew up to be a devout Christian, a leader, a pastor. So you know what? It's great if you're married to a believer, if your husband, if your wife is a believer, it's wonderful to do it together as a team, right? But even if you're alone, if you're a single parent, that doesn't matter. You can still impart the faith to your son, to your daughter. You can still teach them about God, about the Bible. They can still grow up to be a man, a woman of God. If you're tag teaming with your spouse, great. But even if you're alone, you can still raise your child up to be a godly man or woman. The power of a godly mother. And secondly, I want to talk about the priority. The priority of a godly mother. You know, in our day and age, I think Mother's Day has never been more important, more significant than it is today. Because motherhood has never been had a lower status as it is today. Mothers are being degraded. Motherhood is being devalued in our society. I recently heard a high-ranking politician talk about how shameful it is, how horrible it is that girls still dream about being mothers and girls still dream about being wives. Is that a horrible thing for a woman to want to be a wife? Is that a horrible thing for a woman to want to be a mother? But you see, in our day and age, motherhood has been degraded, been devalued. The priority is to pursue your career, to pursue a success in the business world. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against women in the workforce. I mean, my wife, who spoke, she's a professional. Actually, she went to university. She got a degree. She has a profession. She's an orthoptist. Lisi's a medical professional. She worked in hospitals. She worked in clinics. Definitely, I'm not against women in the workplace. But the priority, the biblical priority, is not career. The biblical priority is the family. Amen? Whether you work part-time or full-time or stay at home, that is your decision. You can make that decision. But the priority needs to be the family. In our modern-day age, trying to exalt one's career over marriage, over children, is wrong. It's not biblical. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 31. If you look in Proverbs chapter 31, now we could spend hours studying this chapter. I'm obviously not going to do that. I'm only going to make a few quick observations. How many of you have read Proverbs 31 before? Okay. You may have heard of a Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, is an acrostic. In Hebrew, each verse begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But it's a description of the ideal woman. It's a description of the ideal wife. A description of the ideal mother. And I'm sure as women, you probably might be intimidated as you read this list. But one of the things that it says here about this ideal woman is that she's working. In verse 10, it says, in verse 13, it says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. In verse 16, it says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So we see her working hard. We see her purchasing real estate, making investment decisions. In verse 24, it says, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. So this lady has a business. She's making things and selling them, buying and selling. So this woman is working. So the Bible's not against women in the workforce. Not at all. As a woman, you have the freedom, the choice, whether to work full-time, part-time, stay at home, whatever you want to do. The priority, however, the priority is your family. And by the way, it's not just for women, it's for men as well. As fathers and as husbands and fathers, our priority needs to be our families. How many men are there out there who idolize their jobs? How many men are there out there who idolize their careers? And it's, you know, all about my job and my career and my success and my ambition and my promotion, and the wife and kids are at home. How many men are there whom I've seen who neglect their wives, neglect their kids? They use their work as an escape. The work is an escape from marriage. The work is an escape from the home. So I'm speaking also to men here, not just to women. Both men and women. Our priority needs to be our family. Yes, we need to go to work and make money. But our career and success is not number one in life. Number one is God, obviously. But besides the Lord Himself, our priority needs to be our marriage and our children. Amen? That's the priority of a godly mother, a godly father. You know, I find it sad in America, since we've moved back to America, one of the things I notice about the culture is just the pervasive materialism, the consumerism of this culture, and how you've got to have the better house, the bigger house, the newer house. You've got to have the newer car, the bigger car, more cars. You've got to have all these things. Your kids have to have the best of the best. They've got to have more of it. And therefore, it's almost a requirement that both parents work full time. And that's not the same in other cultures. And again, I'm not against women working. We need to work and provide for our family. Each family decides for themselves. But what I'm saying is, don't let your personal success and ambition become more important than your family. Don't let the materialism and the consumerism of this culture, the pressure to have more, have more, have more, force you to work so much that you neglect your marriage, you neglect your children. Is your family your first priority? Obviously, God's number one. But besides God, your marriage, do you take time to invest in your marriage? Your children, do you take time to invest in your children? The priority of a godly mother, because it's Mother's Day, but also the godly father, our priority needs to be our family. And the last point I want to make this morning, and this is just going to be very quick. It's kind of funny that it's even a point, but my point is just, in honor of Mother's Day, we need to honor our mother. Amen? The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. We need to honor our father and our mother every day. But, of course, especially on this day, on Mother's Day, are you honoring your mother? If you're a child, our small children are in their Sunday school classes. But if you're here, I see some teenagers, young adults here. If you're still living with mom and dad, you honor mom and dad by obeying them. That's what the Bible says. Obey your father and obey your mother. For those of us who are out of the house, we have families of our own, you honor your parents by taking care of them. Are you taking care of your mom? Is your mom well taken care of? And of course, for all of us, we honor our parents by expressing the appreciation towards them that they deserve. So most especially today on Mother's Day, are you expressing to your mom how appreciative you are of what she has done? Honor your mother. You know, I'm so grateful for my own mother. I had the privilege of growing up with Christian parents. My mother and my father are both Christians. And they're not perfect people. They have weaknesses, they have shortcomings. But they both love the Lord. And my mother imparted that love for God to me. And I wouldn't be where I am today, I wouldn't be who I am today without my mother. And I'm so grateful for my wife. For my mother-in-law, Sherry, that my mother-in-law, who's also a Christian, imparted her faith to my wife. And that, you know, just as with Timothy, you have Lois, and then Eunice, and then Timothy, and on and on and on. I can see that Lisi, you know, Sherry to Lisi, Now Lizzie is the mother of my children, and it's a beautiful thing. Lizzie would not be who she is today without that. Are you expressing honor towards your parents? Well, I'd like to close. This morning we've celebrated Mother's Day. We've talked about a godly mother in honor of Mother's Day. We talked about the power of a godly mother. I talked about the example of Susanna Wesley, one of the greatest mothers of church history, the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. We talked about Eunice, the mother of Timothy. You know, God has given you as a mother, and of course for us as fathers, He's given you an awesome privilege to impact, to change a life or lives, the lives of your children, and through your children to change the world. Do you know the power of a godly mother, the impact you can make? And our responsibility is not just to raise our kids to be adults, but to raise them up in the faith, in the knowledge of God. Secondly, we talked about the priority of a godly mother. Mother's Day has never been more important, I think, than today, because society continually devalues mothers, degrades motherhood. The Bible, in contrast, teaches us that outside of God Himself, the family is what's most important. It's not your career, it's not your possessions, your wealth. It's your marriage, it's your children. A woman has the right, the freedom to choose whether she works or stays at home. That's her decision. But no matter what she does, her priority needs to be her family, her marriage, her children. And of course, the same goes for men. No matter what we do, our priority is our family. But in our culture, in our modern culture, let's not let success, the pressure to be successful, let's not let material wealth, the pressure to have everything, the newest and the best of everything, let's not let these pressures cause us to neglect our marriage, to neglect our children. Let's make our families the first priority. And finally, my last point, very quick, very brief. It's Mother's Day. The Bible says, honor your father, honor your mother. That's the fifth commandment. It's pretty important. Children, you honor your parents by obeying them. For us adults, we honor our parents by making sure they're well taken care of. And of course, for all of us, no matter what our age, we need to make sure that every day, but most especially today, we express our appreciation, our thankfulness, our gratitude towards our mothers who raised us. On this Mother's Day, we recognize the power godly mothers have in our lives, the power godly mothers have in this world. We recognize the high priority of motherhood and therefore the honor and the appreciation that mothers deserve. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and why don't we stand and pray. Father God, this sermon was a little bit different than usual, yet I think it's a very appropriate, especially on Mother's Day, just to focus our attention on mothers. I thank you for my own mother, Jerry. I thank you for my mother-in-law, Sherry. Thank you for the influence they had upon me and my wife. And because of them, we are where we are today. And because of them, we are raising our own family, Lord. We thank you that for your idea. Family was your idea from the beginning. And it's a great idea. Lord, I pray in this church for godly mothers. I pray that our mothers in this church would be women of God, would impart the faith and the knowledge of you to their children, that our children would grow to be godly men and godly women and continue imparting the faith to others. Thank you for the examples in the Bible. Thank you for the examples throughout church history. Lord, in our culture, we are continually pressured to devalue motherhood, to devalue the family itself, to focus instead on career, on consumerism, material wealth, success. Lord, I pray that we would return back to the biblical value of family, the priority of marriage, a healthy marriage, the priority of children, raising children, investing our lives into our children. And Lord, I pray on this Mother's Day, Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to take time to say thank you. Thank you for the mothers you've given us. I know that our mothers aren't perfect. My mother wasn't perfect. I'm not a perfect father. My wife is a great mother. She might be a perfect mother. No, she's not perfect. For all the weaknesses and imperfections, Lord, still, we want to be kind. We want to be thankful. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We thank you for mothers in our society today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.